Dearly beloved, we continue from the Baltimore Catechism, the section on the Sacrament of Penance. And a couple of weeks ago, we outlined the five conditions necessary for a good confession and have already discussed at some length the first three, an examination of conscience and the necessity of sorrow and purpose of amendment. And today we would like to discuss the fourth and fifth conditions for a good confession, and these are to tell our sins to the priest and also to be willing to perform the penance the priest gives us. Lesson 31 is entitled Confession. What is confession? Confession is the telling of our sins to an authorized priest for the purpose of obtaining forgiveness. Why must we confess our sins? We must confess our sins because Jesus Christ obliges us to do so in these words: whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. These words of Christ were spoken to his apostles on the evening of his resurrection, on the first Easter Sunday, as they were gathered in the upper room. These words were intended to apply not only to the apostles, but to their successors in the priesthood down until the end of time. Now, how could a priest or a bishop know whether to forgive or retain a sin unless he knows the sin, unless it is told him? Hence the obligation of telling our sins to a priest. Is it necessary to confess every sin? It is necessary to confess every mortal sin which has not yet been confessed and forgiven. It is not necessary to confess our venial sins, but it is better to do so. It is not necessary to confess venial sins because they do not deprive the soul of sanctifying grace and can be forgiven by an act of contrition, certainly by an act of perfect contrition. However, it is better to confess venial sins because in this way we have greater assurance that they are forgiven, and from the sacrament we receive special sacramental graces to avoid them in the future. So even though we do not have to confess our venial sins in confession, there are so many advantages from doing so. We receive special sacramental graces to overcome them. The temporal punishment due to those venial sins is to a great degree remitted by confessing them, and we are strengthened in our resolve to overcome them. So it is certainly advisable to confess them. And what are the qualities of a good confession? A good confession must be humble, sincere, and entire. These are the three qualities of a good confession. In other words, when we go into the confessional, we have already examined our conscience. We have, before we've gone in, remember, set our act of contrition in order to have the sorrow and the purpose of amendment. But as we say our sins, we must be careful to see to it that we do so with humility, that our confession is frank or sincere and entire. So let us examine briefly these three qualities of a good confession: humble, sincere, and entire. Firstly, our confession must be humble. We must accuse ourselves of our sins with a conviction of our guilt. We don't simply go in there with a proud attitude and say, well, I guess I have to do this because the church says I have to. But to go in there trying to justify ourselves, that's pride, not humility. And our sins will not be forgiven. We must have a humble attitude. We are sinners. We go into the confessional because we are sinners. And we remind ourselves of that fact when we go into the confessional. We kneel down. And kneeling is a position of humility. We kneel down to confess our sins to show that we are humble. And it's important for us to have that disposition inside. Secondly, our confession must be sincere. By sincere, we mean that we tell our sins honestly and frankly. In other words, we don't try and disguise them. We don't try and confess them or pass them over real quick, hoping the priest didn't catch it, hoping the priest didn't quite understand what we were trying to say, or trying to give another impression of our sins. Our concern should be to be completely above board when we go to confession, to be perfectly honest and candid like a child, not to try and disguise, not to try and underestimate, or even over-exaggerate. To confess our sins to the priest the way we know God sees them, who sees into our heart. That should be our aim, and that is what we mean by a sincere confession. If a person tells some sins in a low tone and hurried manner, deliberately intending that the priest shall not fully understand them, his confession is not sincere, and if the sins are mortal, he commits a grave sacrilege, and no sins are forgiven. So there is that danger. Someone who tries to hide his sins or is not sincere in telling them as he knows them to be in God's eyes runs the risk of making a bad confession. Now, is it ever allowed to write down our sins on a sheet of paper in order to confess them? For good reasons, it is permitted to write our sins and read them to the priest in the confessional. Persons who are deprived of the power of speech may write out their sins and give the paper to the priest to read. However, it is not advisable as a general rule to write down your sins on a piece of paper. Someone who may have a hard time remembering could do so. Someone who gets very nervous in the confessional may need to do so, but it's dangerous. Someone else may come across that piece of paper. If a person ever does so, he should destroy it as soon as possible after confession. And again, as a general rule, it is not recommended, only for those who, for various reasons, have a need of this practice. Where should persons who are hard of hearing go to confession? They should make special arrangement with the priest to go to confession in the rectory or the sacristy, somewhere where they will not be overheard. And the third condition of a good confession, it must be entire. Our confession is entire when we confess at least all our mortal sins, telling their kind, the number of times we have committed each sin, and any circumstances changing their nature. Entire. It includes all mortal sins as well as any circumstances which would change the nature of those sins, which would make them more grievous than otherwise because of various circumstances. Now, what is meant by the kind of sin? If we are to tell not only all mortal sins, but the kind of sin and circumstances changing the nature, what do we mean by these two things? First of all, the kind of sin. By the kind of sin is meant the particular class to which a sin belongs. For example, whether it is a sin of blasphemy, mass missing, or theft, disobedience, or impurity, which is usually best determined by finding out the particular virtue that has been transgressed or the particular commandment of God or of the church that has been broken. So that is what we mean by the kind of sin. What type of sin it is? What commandment is it against? And secondly, to confess any circumstances changing the nature of a sin. By this is meant those circumstances connected with the sin which add a new kind of wickedness to that which is already present by the very nature of the act. Now, an example that is often given, if someone steals money, then that is a sin, mortal or venial, depending on the amount stolen. If a person stole money, even a smaller amount, from an extremely destitute person, then that sin of theft takes on an added seriousness because of the circumstances of want in which the person was from whom the money was taken. If a person stole from a charitable organization, from the church above all, then there again is another added circumstance. So this can also apply to other sins. Any circumstance which, if mentioned to the priest, would help him realize, well, this is more serious than it otherwise would be, that is a circumstance that has to be told. What are we to do if, without our fault, we forget to confess a mortal sin? A person, say, had two or three mortal sins. He intended to confess all of them. He goes to confession and, again, is nervous, or for whatever reason, he simply forgets to confess one of those mortal sins. There was no intention of deceiving the priest or holding something back. He forgot. His sin is forgiven because he had the intention to confess it, so he may go to Holy Communion, but he is bound to confess that sin again the next time he goes to confession. He is absolutely bound to confess that sin. But because he intended to confess it, it is forgiven, and he may go to Holy Communion. Now, what is a general confession? Well, I'm not talking here, that will be the next chapter. We're not talking here about the general confession where a person confesses sins from his past life or goes back a number of years. But there is such a thing as a person confessing in a general way without mentioning the nature and number of his sins. If you have a person who is dying and he's ready to die at any moment, then he may confess very briefly his sins and receive absolution. A soldier going into battle may confess briefly his sins without going into a detailed confession and can receive absolution. One who has received the sacrament of penance after confessing in this general way is obliged to tell his sins according to their nature and number with the circumstances that change their nature the next time he goes to confession after the emergency is past. So only when there is an emergency can this be done, such again as wartime. What happens if we knowingly conceal a mortal sin? If we knowingly conceal a mortal sin in confession, the sins we confess are not forgiven. Moreover, we commit a mortal sin of sacrilege. A person who has concealed a mortal sin in confession must confess, first of all, that he made a bad confession. He has to tell the sin that he concealed. And then secondly, he has to tell all of the other sins since his last good confession. Even though he already told them in the bad confession, all of them except for the one he held back, he still has to confess them all over again because it was a bad confession. Now here is a very important question. Why should a sense of shame and fear of telling our sins to the priest never lead us to conceal a mortal sin in confession? A very important question to remember. A sense of shame and fear of telling our sins to the priest should never lead us to conceal a mortal sin in confession, because the priest, who represents God himself, is bound by the sacramental seal never to reveal anything that has been confessed to him. The seal of the sacrament, the sacramental seal, the obligation under which a priest is to secrecy, is the most sacred secret that there is in this world. It's the most binding, the most serious. And even if a priest ran into you outside of confession and nobody else is around for miles, he still couldn't even discuss with you outside of the confessional what you told him in confession, even though no one else is around. That is how serious it is. As a matter of fact, if a layperson were ever to overhear another's confession, he is also strictly forbidden to speak of it, strictly bound by the seal of the sacrament. And it would be a grave violation of the sacramental seal to reveal, even to the person, anything that you overheard. That's why people should talk in a low voice in the confessional. If you're on the other side and there's two sides to the confessional like the one here, and you're on the other side and you accidentally overhear something that's said by the person that's going to confession, you can never speak of it, even to that person. And so it's very important for us always to remember this, because nothing should cause us to conceal a serious sin in confession. If you think about it this way, a person who holds back a serious sin out of a shame or fear, if he wants to go to heaven, someday he's going to have to repair that bad confession that he just made, that sacrilege. And if he repairs it, he's going to have to confess the sin that he held back out of shame. In addition to that, he's going to have to confess that he made a bad confession, plus all the other sins. If he confessed them, he's going to have to confess them all over again. Wouldn't it be much easier the first time simply to tell all of the sins? And that's important to remember. The priest hears so many confessions, he forgets what he is told. He hears the same sins over and over again, if he lives long enough and hears enough confessions. Well over 1,000 confessions and more in 1 year's time. And after several years, again, it amounts to quite a few confessions. And so especially a priest who's had experience of hearing confession has heard them all already. And you're not going to surprise him, believe me. And there's no reason in the world for holding back a sin. It does you no good whatsoever. Moreover, it does you a lot of harm. Is it forbidden to tell others what we told in confession or what the priest told us? it is not, strictly speaking, forbidden to tell others what we told the priest in confession or what the priest told us, but generally it is not advisable to mention these matters. It is generally not advisable to discuss it. Even the confession, even the penance that you're given in confession, it's not a good idea to talk about that. Because, among other reasons, it tends to lower the esteem or the sense of awe in which the sacrament of penance is normally held by the faithful. To discuss what the priest told you, the advice or counsel he told you, tends to minimize or to lower or to bring down to a common level confession, instead of keeping it up there as something we esteem and reverence. And so it is best, without very good reason to the contrary, it is best not to discuss either what we tell the priest or what the priest tells us. Now, why does the priest give us a penance after confession? Here we get into the fifth condition for a good confession, which is to be willing to tell the to perform the penance the priest gives us. The priest gives us a penance after confession that we may avoid, that we may make some atonement to God for our sins, receive help to avoid them in the future, and make some satisfaction for the temporal punishment due to sin. In a couple of weeks, we will go into temporal punishment in detail. But basically, temporal punishment is the debt that we still owe to God even after our sins have been forgiven. We have to pay Him back. We have to make up for those sins, even though they are forgiven in the confessional. So, by receiving a penance in the confessional, the priest gives us a chance to make up at least some of the temporal punishment due to those sins, to make atonement to God, to receive help also to avoid sin in the future, to help us discipline ourselves. By doing penance, we are disciplining our fallen human nature, and it is our fallen human nature that made us commit the sin, that led us into the sin. And so the penance is a very important part of confession. And a priest oftentimes will give a penance according to what the person needs. If a person is indulging himself and commits a sin by overeating or drinking, then the penance may be to fast. If a person missed Mass on a Sunday, the penance may be to attend Mass on a weekday when the person is not bound to do so. If a person has a problem with charity, the penance may be to perform acts of charity. More often than not, the penance is simply to pray a certain amount of prayers, a rosary, some decades of the rosary, some Our Fathers and Hail Marys, the acts of faith, hope, and charity, whatever it may be. Prayer is a type of penance. It's a discipline, a mental discipline, and physical, to kneel down, to remain still, to try and concentrate and to pray. That's a penance. It's a way for making up for our sins and strengthening us in the future. But keep this in mind, the penance the priest gives us is usually very slight. We should take more upon ourselves than what we are simply given. Read, especially during this month, the book on purgatory. The years that souls suffered in purgatory for what would seem to us slight sins, very minor transgressions, and what they had to suffer in purgatory. Don't be content with the penance, simply performing the penance the priest gives you. You may be storing up for yourselves years in purgatory. Far better to make up for those sins in this life rather than in purgatory. Does the sacrament of penance worthily received always take away all punishment? The sacrament of penance worthily received always takes away the eternal punishment due to sin, but it does not always take away the temporal punishment. Why does God require temporal punishment for sin? God requires temporal punishment for sin in order to satisfy His justice, to teach us the great evil of sin, and to warn us not to sin again. God's justice has to be satisfied. God is perfect, and His justice is an attribute that must be satisfied. We pay the debt of our temporal punishment either in this life or in purgatory. And again, far better in this life, where God's mercy will easily wipe away the debt of temporal punishment. In purgatory, we have to pay, as our Lord said, the last farthing, even to the last farthing. Purgatory is the place for strict justice. This world is a place for mercy as well as justice. But God's mercy overshadows His justice in this world. The next world, the next life, is the time for God's justice. So let us be resolved always to perform the penance the priest gives us and to try and do more. What are the chief means of satisfying the debt of our temporal punishment besides the penance imposed after confession? Besides the penance imposed after confession, the chief means of satisfying the debt of our temporal punishment are prayer, fasting, almsgiving, the works of mercy, and the patient endurance of sufferings as well as indulgences. So this concludes the 31st lesson of the Catechism on confession. Remember to make a good confession, to confess your sins in a way that is humble, sincere, and entire. It is humble because you realize you are a sinner. You are frank and sincere in your explanation of your sins. You're not trying to get out of it. You are there to accuse yourself and to admit what you did wrong. You'll feel a lot better by being perfectly candid and sincere. Your confession must be furthermore entire, confessing all mortal sins. Remember in confession also to be willing to perform the penance the priest gives you. If you forget it, your confession was still good. When you remember it, you must perform it. The best practice is to perform the penance as soon as possible. We must thank Almighty God for this gift of the sacrament of penance. At times, it may be bitter medicine, but it is very good and solitary medicine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.